for the players.
Nah, it sucks when you take too long to do anything. I'm Ryan Benson.
I was clearly going to lose too. I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture of PlayStation podcast for 40 years of playing PlayStation and a fuck ton of time. 45 years of playing PlayStation, 12 plus years in that game's media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links are found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures where you can watch us record the show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop. I mean, by shirts, other sort of shit without logos on it. Just heads up, housekeeping, everybody. Next Sunday, I will be. We've got noises coming through. Big thank you for the Mullet Show for being a subscriber for 78 months. 78 months is a lot of months. Thank you, Craig. So, next Sunday, We will be delaying the recording by one day into the Monday because this dickhead has more wrestling. Unlike previous weeks where I'm like, nah, I can get back in time and then proceed to never get back in time, we'll nip it in the bud early, I think.
We'll preemptively.
You'll preemptively assume it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's not too bad. Not too bad. But how has your weekend been, Max? How's your weekend been?
Yeah, weekend's been all right.
And then your week outside of that has been solid too?
Yeah, it's been fine.
Yeah? Been fine. What's been going on? What's been happening?
Same as usual, just, going through the motions of...
Still celiac?
Yeah, well, as far as I'm aware. I'll be on the waiting list for God knows how long.
I'm going to keep asking just in case one day it changes.
Yeah, my guess is I'll be on the waiting list for fucking ages. Oof. Which sucks, but that's what happens when you want to go public instead of private, and all that jazz. Other than that, I didn't do too much. Hung out with your son last night. That was weird.
Yeah, that was interesting. So for those playing at home, I was at a wrestling show, hence like my voice is a little fucked because I announced two shows yesterday, one in the afternoon, one in the evening, and I just fucking yelled for like 3 hours. Like my style of ring announcing is just yelling. And it works. So, I'm sitting at this wrestling show, just killing time before the show starts. Bing, message from Max, and it's like, "Hey, I'm hanging out with your son right now." And I'm like, "It makes no sense. Why the hell are you hanging out with my son?" Like, I knew where my son should have been. And I was like,
"It wasn't with me."
And it wasn't like anywhere where I thought Max. I thought, his mom had a baby shower, that she was at. And I was like, okay, why would Max be at this baby shower? That makes no sense. Sure enough, you weren't at a baby shower. You're at McDonald's.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, it turns out just by pure coincidence, yourself and my son crossed paths. The way I heard it, this is exactly how I heard the story today. His mom and him were at the machine. They were pressing the buttons to order their food. James is in the middle of ordering an Oreo McFlurry. He wanted extra things in it, so that's why they're doing the taking the time. He then looks over, sees Hadley, goes, "Oh, that's Hadley," drops his bag, just gives up on his Oreo McFlurry, and just leaves.
Yep, that's pretty much what happened.
Yep.
So yeah, no, that was fun.
Mm.
He struggled a bit because obviously we were there with friends and our kids had already eaten.
Yeah.
So they were back on the playground.
Yeah.
And James was like, "I just want to fucking play." And Millie's like, "I want you to fucking eat food."
He's very much the I'd much rather play than eat kid.
He was stuck in Struggle Town.
Mm.
But that no, was good seeing him. It was good running into him. And then obviously Hadley's like, oh, it's school holidays. Can we organize a play date? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. You know, I'll talk to Millie. Okay, James Friedel. And she's like, yeah, Friday when she's with you. I'm like, I'll talk to Ryan then. Because obviously, although it's school holidays, Hadley's still going to the holiday program for kinder.
Because
like we have to pay regardless of whether or not she goes.
That is bizarre.
She may as well go so I get my money's worth.
Yeah.
I'm paying for it anyway. So
and then Friday's the public holiday, yeah?
Well, she's only free Wednesdays and Fridays because they're the 2 days she doesn't do kinder.
Well, because it's coming Friday. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show where Max and I plan out our social lives in a very public setting. Friday being the public holiday, I'm pretty sure I could take, yo, Duty, what's up? We're just doing dad things, which is something that, friend of the show, Dame Duty Dench, still one of the best names on fucking Twitch. They themselves will be having a child shortly. So you too will get to experience moments like this where we should be doing something else. And we're like, hey, when can our kids hang out? When can we make this happen? Like, oh yeah, Friday should be pretty good. But yeah, back
I don't think I'm working Friday.
Well, I work for a company based out.
I'm not working Thursday night.
Sick. Well, I work for a company based out of New South Wales. And as part of my contract, get all Victorian public holidays. So boom, let's go to Bounce.
Double check that because I technically work for a national company because they have multiple states in the same office.
Yeah,
only the state who actually works for Victoria gets the day off. So they'll still be like everyone else there, but they might all be like, "Fucking work from home. We're giving Max a day off."
Yeah,
so like we'll see what happens.
Yeah, go ahead and find out. But yeah, want to go to Bounce?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, Bouncing's fun. Your kid likes Bounce. My kid likes Bounce. Tires them out. It's great.
Or you could just come here and they can bounce on the trampoline outside and then we can just sit inside. And
Yeah, but I quite like bouncing also.
Yeah, I don't know. After last time, did you like smash your face in trying to flip?
No, I nearly like did my shoulder. It was slightly different. My shoulder hurt for a very long time after that trip to Bounce.
Same, but different. I'll also be packed because it's a fucking public holiday.
Oh, yeah, true.
You get them school holiday germs in week one.
Oh, I got sick leave. Yeah, Trimbobaline, says Malche. I love the Trimbobaline. Because, like, there's, I want to get out and go Trimbobalining. It's good. It's easy fun. What do you... Oh, I thought we were waiting to start recording the show because Max's kid might still awake. He just looks down. I'm like, did your kid just like wander out?
No, I've got the baby monitor beside me.
Oh, okay.
I can see him fucking rolling around wrestling with his bunny rabbit.
That rules.
Dickhead.
But yeah, other than that, like not much really has happened this week that I can think of the top of my head. No, that might be it, I think. No, that's probably it. I live a very boring life these days. It's not so bad. But that does mean that I get to play some games sometimes. So, Max, what have you been playing this week?
What have I been playing this week? I've been playing a shitload of fucking Astrobot still. So my kid rolled credits on Astrobot this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. She has started what she keeps referring to as the new Astrobot, which is actually Astro's player, and it's the old Astrobot. Nice. She thinks it's the new Astrobot because it's new for her. So we've been playing that one, and that one's a little bit trickier for her than the new one.
Yeah.
Because obviously it uses the trackpad staff, the frog suit's dumb.
Fuck that frog suit.
The monkey suit's fine. She got the monkey suit down because the monkey suit's in the new one.
Yeah.
So she's getting through that. She's enjoying her time with that. I've been playing.
Has she given any shits about all the like? It's a controller. No,
not at all.
Oh.
She's like, Dad, how come we're not rescuing as many bots this time? I'm like, 'cause the game sucks. I'm sorry.
Whoa, the game had a different focus, Hadley. And once they exhausted all their hardware, then this is what they were left with. But it's funny you mentioned that, like, you know, Hadley has completed Astrobot. So.
Well, that is the first thing James told me when I saw him.
Yeah. So James has done the same. So he called me the other day for a video call, as we normally do. And we were on a video call and he's like, Daddy, I'm at the final boss. I'm like, all right, let's go. So we were there on, had a video call together and he rolled credits while I was there, quote unquote. And that was really, really lovely. And he was so excited. So when I caught up with him today, we had to play Smash Robot again. And as he is spending some extra days with me this week over the holidays, I can assure you he'll be playing a lot more Astrobot here as well. So he'll probably end up getting the credits here as well. He has got desire to get the platinum, which he can on his mum's account. He can't quite do here, obviously, because I've already got it. But, I kind of want to get into it now. Not that I'm like the biggest of trophy hunters, right? I get the platinums for games that I care a lot about or that are reasonably obtainable. And I get it while I'm playing. But do you think if I ingrain within him now the beauty of a platinum trophy, that I can set him up to succeed or fucking fail? Yeah. Because every game becomes unimaginable.
He'll play that one game where it's impossible to get platinum.
Yeah, and then he'll make it. Then what if he becomes one of those guys that refuses to play a game because it doesn't have a platinum?
What if he becomes one of those guys that pays like the $2 to get the easy plat?
Ooh.
The Paul James.
No. I can raise him better than that. I can raise him to support a good platinum. No trash platinums in my son's PSN account.
All platinums are equal.
Yeah. What's our good friends at the Platinum Explosion say? Every trophy counts. But mostly the good platinums.
Mostly. But when he brought up I rolled credits, it made me think, how many games have I rolled credits on this year?
Oh, the answer's not many, I can assure you.
I looked at my list and it's actually a fairly substantial amount.
Oh, all right. Well, let me pull up a list and let's do the same. 2024 video game release list. Mostly because I haven't been keeping my phone updated as I have in the past. All right, well, Max, give us a look at it. How's it going for you?
I've done 12.
12? 12 credits
on 12.
Yeah. Nice.
I played more than 12, but I rolled credits on 12.
Let me have a look. So the last I did of my list... Shit, I've not updated this since March. That's not good. So the ones I have credits for that are on paper... Actually, I can make four. Prince of Persia, Lost Crown, Tekken 8, Alone in the Dark, and Astrobot. But I assure you there's more.
I've got Final Fantasy Strangers of Paradise, Prince of Persia, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, Tekken 8, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Balatro, Dragon's Dogma 2, Shadows of the Erdtree, Astrobot, and a couple of other PC games that I've played.
Yeah, I'm trying to have a quick squiz. Let's see. Plucky Squire. I rolled credits on. That's another one. That was a goodie. You know what? I think that is it. That's genuinely it. Wow. Wow. Oh. That's a bit poo. But, like, I say that, though. Like, yes, I'm not always the best at, finishing my games. That is true. But there are, I do try to go back occasionally. And an example of that would be Mafia 3, right? I constantly try to go back to that game like every number of years since it came out. Finally, post Astrobot, I'm like, now's the time. Because I just started playing it before Astrobot came out. Then the code came through. I went, fuck that game. And I played Astrobot until I finished it. So, but now I'm back in the Mafia 3. And that game is legitimately a lot of fun. In the same way that I'm sure we'll talk about it as well, is Space Marine 2. It is very of a time, and I love it for it. Like, it has the feel of those old, you know, late PS2, early PS3, open world survival game, open world, you know, third person games, those GTAs, your streets of, something Streets of New York, that was one of them, the Scarface game back in the day, you know, that style of the very flagrant Grand Theft Auto clones, true crime, thank you Time Part, the true crime Streets of LA and Streets of New York. So it does feels a lot like that, but this game was made in what, like 2016 2017. The facial capture is really, really good for the time, and I love that a lot. The story is most certainly intriguing. The world is engaging enough that I want to drive from A to B. One of the things I talked about when we reviewed Mafia 2 and 3 remastered, one and two remastered, I should say. The main points that I had was I loved one. Because there was no open world. It was just mission to mission to mission to mission, which I really enjoyed because the open world in Mafia 2 felt open, felt empty and wide, but like not enough to fill it up. Like you're driving these distances. It's like, oh, wow, it feels fantastic, but there's barren, the world doesn't feel lived in. But in this, it feels lived in. Like it feels massive and it's dense. And I want to see what's around every corner and I want to go collect the things. And it's interesting to experience how Hangar 13, have chosen to view the late 60s. One of the things the game specifies when you open it up is a little screen that's like, oh, hey, this is going to depict some things that aren't really awesome, but like that was the time, so sorry. And that really good. It really like sets it creates such a tone piece for the game that allows it to really enjoy it all. And Lincoln Clay is an interesting character. His motivations are... they're very strong, and as you learn more about him and what he has done, especially in his time within the Vietnam War, because it is very late on, early out, that he is a vet, veteran, not a dog cat vet, because I think that'd be a very different game. I'm really, really enjoying it. Have you ever fucked with Mafia 3?
Not Mafia 3. I played Mafia 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I don't think I played 3.
Any particular reason? Just...
When did it come out? Let me have a look at when it came out, and I'll tell you if there was a reason. I went 2016. Fuck, what was I doing in 2016?
I was at EB Expo in Sydney, because it came out that weekend, and I was like, ooh... Yeah, you collected the Buff Jesus magazines. I am collecting, says Ask Mute in the chat. I have been going around collecting the weird things. I do love the collectibles in the game. Like there's Playboy magazines, there's records, Buff Jesus magazines. Like there's a bunch of interesting things in the game. I haven't seen Buff Jesus yet. I've mostly seen sort of the pinup art, the records, and the Playboy magazines.
It came out 2 days before Metal Gear Solid 5. That's what I was doing.
Ah. Checks out.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah. No, it is pretty fantastic. I enjoy it quite a bit, actually. Very, very good. But anything else that you have been playing there, Max?
I've played more Visions of Mana.
Mm-hmm.
Still playing through that. Got stuck in my grind thing again. I've kind of worked out that there's items that I've been... So... In JRPGs, I am one of those people who hoards all their items and never uses them because, like, there's going to be that one point. Yeah, there's going to be that one point where I'm like, I'm going to fucking need these. Turns out I've been, like, stashing cookies that give me bonus XP for, like, ages. So I just started munging on these cookies and I just went grinding. So I spent, like, 2.5 hours just farming it out, just exploring the open areas, collecting all the collectibles in the areas because they're all marked on the minimap before you even find them. There's just, like, a... It's indicated by like a green dot. It's like, there is a collectible here. Mm-hmm. So I've just been going and getting all those. And most of the time, they're like semi-useful items. sometimes you'll get better armor, better weapons. So I've just kind of been running around farming it up because I've fallen a little bit behind. I've gotten a fair bit further through the story. We're finding out that some of the towns who provide the elemental alms to go on the pilgrimage to save the tree and to save the world have in the past gone, this is dumb. We don't want to do this. And because of it, their cities have been destroyed because they haven't provided anyone, or they've been derelict in their duty. So we're going through... I'm going through that, learning all the backstory, and it's quite interesting. And it's definitely, you know, making the player character raise the questions of, like, do we really need to do this? Like, is there not another way where we don't have to fucking human sacrifice everyone to just let everyone else live slightly better lives for a little bit? It's very reminiscent of, like, Final Fantasy X when they go on their pilgrimage, and then ultimately they become what they destroyed, and the cycle fucking continues. It's just that cyclical.
Yeah, the snake eating its own tail.
Yeah. So it's been really cool. I'm really enjoying it. The combat's still great. I've slowly gotten used to their ring menu, so you can pull, it kind of pauses the game. You pull up a radial menu, you can kind of flick through what abilities you want to use and all that stuff. The character classes are somewhat to be desired at some times. They're very two-dimensional. You know, you've got your sword fighter, your kind of your stereotypical JRPG classes. So far I've had, like, you know, knight with sword, knight with lance, dancer class, mage classes. One thing you can do, it's not new to this game, and it's definitely not new to JRPGs, is you can kind of set the way that the AI will run the non-controlled players in combat.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of wigged with that a bit. So I've got one class set up as just a pure healer. They are not to attack. They don't attack anyone. And as soon as people lose health, they'll just top them up to full. Because I was getting sick of having to do all the healing myself. And I'm like, hang on, I wonder if I can just go in and just set up like a heal bot, essentially. I've kind of got the characters set up to do what I need to do. That way I don't have to cycle through them, control them, make them do their abilities that they should be doing automatically anyway, which kind of takes a little bit of the stress and the difficulty off a lot of the combats. But yeah, I'm really digging it.
Nice.
I think it was Mute that asked me a couple of weeks ago if it was worthwhile. I think I've played enough now. I'm definitely enjoying it. So if you're looking for a JRPG, I think it's about 30-ish hours long. I'm currently about 15 hours in, but a lot of that has been fuck-assing around and me just killing random shit because that's how I roll.
Well, as you said, like, with your sort of more farming approach, yeah.
Yeah.
So one thing that I sort of have touched upon, but I haven't really messed with too hard. So pardon me, this week we did receive a review code for God of War Ragnarok on PC. Now, I haven't really played the game enough to sort of go, this is how it runs and whatever. One of the first things I noticed when I installed it on my computer was like 170. It's fucking huge. It's a big honker of a game. And I'm like, wait, hang on, isn't the version on the console like not even close to that? And the answer is yes. And the reason being is because this game is goddamn immaculate visually on PC. It is goddamn ridiculous how stunning this game is. Like, it was already beautiful, and now I'm playing it again, and it's all pretty, and it's just, it's unmatched. Like, I did, you know, pick up God of War 2018 as well, and I dipped my toes into that this week. It's weird playing with mouse and keyboard, but I wanted to see if it would be fun. The answer is, it is not fun, so I'll be switching to controller very quickly. But, like, even that looked, you know, the Kratos looked amazing, Atreus looked amazing, but there were, like, some weird environmental textures, like, you know, an example in the opening section that even my partner Phoebe picked up, when Kratos is, you know, getting ready to chop down that honking tree at the start of the game with big, you know, gold hand on it. As he leans his head in to rest his head against the trunk, some of the shadowing around particular parts of the tree did look a little bit odd, and it kind of stood out, especially with the higher quality detail of Kratos' face and the interesting shape of that trunk section. It did look a little weird, but you know, the opening cinematics, the first, you know, little window of gameplay within Ragnarok is just delicious, and I'm very excited to play that game more because I love the God of War games. Duh, everyone knows, but it is nice to see it again and experience it again in a different way. That part I'm really, really liking. But speaking of experiencing the same game in a different way, let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, Max, I'm just going to put out there, that was a fucking exceptional segue. So you can just jump straight in.
Cool. Well, as you alluded to, apparently everyone gets a fucking remaster these days.
Yeah.
So there's we'll talk about two. So there's the Days Gone rumored remaster. So speaking as part of a Giant Bomb podcast, Jeff Grubb has effectively confirmed Days Gone is getting a remaster. He previously hinted at a quote less exciting PS5 remaster than the leaked Horizon Zero Dawn, which we'll talk about in a second, which prompted Jordan Midler of VGC to imply it was the Bend Studio open worlder. Now the story's come full circle and Grubb has effectively confirmed that this was what he was referring to. Yeah, quote, yeah, this is it, he admitted. Days Gone already runs at a relatively flawless 60 frames per second in 4K on the PlayStation 5, so it's interesting to see what will actually improve. Could it be a director's cut style deal similar to that of Ghost of Tsushima, which will probably carry a relatively low $10 upgrade fee, hopefully. Presumably we'll wait until next week's rumored state of play that's apparently happening on the 26th. No news of that yet, to find out more. And then there's the Horizon
Zero. Let's talk Days Gone first.
Okay. Garvin will be happy.
No, he won't be, because it can't be called the director's cut, because he was the fucking creative director. And like, that's what makes it beautiful, because he was so shitty last week about Astrobot looking at fucking at Deacon St. John. And like, we're going to make a director's cut. Not that director, because he's a shit and he's not around anymore. So but that's fine. But you've never played Days Gone.
No.
I have.
Maybe,
I think
maybe this will get me in. Maybe this will get me in.
I think the game's great, personally. I think it's fantastic. Is it long in the tooth? God damn it is. And for the game, for the studio's first full-fledged game since the PS2, I felt that I was, seeing them, learn how to make this style of game as the game progresses. Like, rather than making it in, various orders. Like it's almost like they've made the game in sequential order. Like we're all going to start together and make the start of the game and then build up and build up and build up. Because as it got better and, it just laid on itself in such an incredible way that the back end of the game is exceptional. Even down to all the hordes and everything that we would have come to know or identify with Days Gone. It looks, like those ungodly amount of freakers just coming at you. It is a shame, though, and I do wonder whether it is a testing bed. Like, normally these remasters are an easy way to make some money on properties that they already know will translate or could be indicators of something they'd be willing to look at again.
Yeah, but
Days Gone doesn't feel like it would be.
I was going to say, if Sony's like, Days Gone didn't do that well, it doesn't deserve a Days Gone 2, why the fuck are they remastering it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are they remastering it in like, is it a way to take advantage of like a reassessment? Like, there are a number of things over time that everyone hated, but now, like Creed, Nickelback, as two examples, right? Everyone hated them at the time. Everyone now is like, Creed and Nickelback, and they're not so bad. So maybe they're like, oh, Days Gone. Yeah, that's not so bad. And they jump it and they play it and it's okay. Because it was a bit shitty at launch, but like, it's pretty good.
Maybe.
But once again, but without any intentions of doing anything after that, they're like, oh, everyone's like, man, this game's actually really good. Are they going to make a sequel? No. Are you shitting me? They said the writer's gone. That's not happening. And he seems to be really violently angry about it. So that's not going to go well for him.
All the more reason to do it without him.
Yeah. Unless there's some benefits of like, hey, with the PS5 port, we've been able to take an advantage of the increased CPU, which allows us to have and control and render, more freakers. So that
so many more freakers.
Yeah. So you can get like the DayZ level of just fucking... World War Z levels are just fucking piles and mountains of zombies just gunning at you. That would be cool. But there's a second one, Max.
Yeah, so there has been rumors of a remaster of Guerrilla's 2017 open world adventure Horizon Zero Dawn for quite some time. But following the unexpected announcement of LEGO Horizon Adventures earlier this year, some speculated that insiders may have got their wires crossed. Turns out it's real. It's just being rated by the American Classification Board and the ESRB. The remaster, slated for launch on both PS5 and PC, harbors no surprises according to its description. Quote, players guide Aloy as she learns to hunt robotic creatures and animals in the wild. Aloy uses arrows, spears, and explosive traps to injure and kill machines, boar, and occasional humans.
Occasional? I murdered so many fucking people in that game.
Does it need a remaster?
No.
Yeah, didn't it just come out on PC like last year?
Yeah, it's $18 on PC right now, and apparently the port's really fucking good. I understand by having, because obviously Forbidden West is one of the most beautiful games to ever grace the PS5.
Yeah, then just make the fucking third game in the series.
Yeah, that's my other thing, right? And okay. I'm gonna bury the lead on like on a story that's coming up, right?
The PS5 has been the fucking console of remasters.
But the PS3 was originally as well.
Yeah, but I've yet to get like a fucking boss ass PS5 solo like exclusive game that's like, this is why we upgraded.
Yeah, this is why I need a pro. You know what I mean? Like, but they're not doing that. But yeah, to bury the lead, right? Like. Later on in a story about Concord, we're going to hear about Herman Holst and how he was a big advocate for that game. Herman Holst, the previous creative director director in general of Guerrilla, the studio behind Horizon. The one other thing that people sort of comment on is, you know, he clearly has a boner for the work that he's made.
Oh my God, are you saying that Horizon Zero Dawn's a Nepo baby?
No, I think its treatments post-release has been straight Nepo. Like, look, I love Horizon Zero Dawn. I love Forbidden West. But, like, the amount of attention this one franchise is getting, like TVs, you know, an MMO, the VR version, that was pretty sweet, though. I'm mad about that. I'm glad something got VR. But, like, you know, the Lego game, like this franchise has seemed to be given an ungodly amount of love compared to any other franchise. And I think a lot of it, it's a lot more easily marketable than say The Last of Us or God of War or anything. You know, female lead, strong, empowering, like legitimately an awesome, cool character. I can understand the appeals for it, but like, yeah, it does have a little bit of like, you know, you're all my favorites. You're my favorite. You know what I mean? Like it has that feel. I'm not saying that is the case, but it does feel that way sometimes. Because as I said, like a good remaster needs time to be impactful. It needs time to resonate with you and make you be interested in wanting to return to that world. You know, it's a common trope used in marketing, Max. It's called nostalgia.
Bullshit. Sorry, what?
It's called bullshit and nostalgia. And I call it bullshit knowing that I got fucking sucked in this week. Just when you thought you were out, Sony goes and pulls you right back in. The platform holder has announced a series of absolutely jaw-dropping 30th anniversary consoles and accessories. Bye, Craig. Dropping 30th anniversary consoles and accessories, including a PS5 Pro, a PS5 Digital Edition, a DualSense Edge controller, a DualSense controller, and a PS Portal. Pre-orders will be available on the 26th of September, no given time. Just sometime on that day.
10 a.m.
I did say 10 a.m. Sick.
So it's the same time that the pro goes live. So get ready for all the servers to be.
Oof, it's gonna be fucking just get messy. Absolutely
fucking slammed.
So here's the full product family as announced by Sony. Please note there is no current word on pricing, whether it be US, Euro, Yen, Aussie dollar, dues, nothing. So you got the PS5 Pro bundle. It's limited to 12,300 units to commemorate the 3rd of December 1994, the release date of the PS1 in Japan. It comes with a 30th anniversary DualSense Edge controller. That's their fancy pants upgraded controller. A 30th anniversary DualSense controller, so a standard one. A 30th anniversary charging station, so that's the little the thingy that charges the controllers. A 30th anniversary stand, looks the same. but its 30th anniversary. While the disc drive will be sold separately, a cover will be provided to match the color of the console if you decided to add one later. The other is the PS5 Digital Edition Bundle. It comes with a 30th anniversary DualSense controller and a 30th anniversary stand. Like the PS5 Pro, while the disc drive will be sold separately, a cover will be provided to match the color of the console if you were to add one later. The console bundles will come with the following promotional items, including a USB-C charging cable with inspired by the PS1's connector port. You'll also get four PlayStation cable ties that are the sacred symbols, a paperclip, a sticker, a limited edition poster with one of 30 different designs. Quote, "Everything we've done is to ensure PlayStation is the best place to play. We believe the beginning of our journey is an important part of our history at Sony Interactive Entertainment, which is why we are honoring this moment by bringing the original PlayStation design theme to the latest products for PS5 to commemorate the last 30 years. As we look ahead to the future, we will continue to innovate as technology evolves, as you can enjoy each memorable moment in our continued journey with PlayStation." Now, last week, Max, when the PS5 Pro was announced, you and I were sitting here knowingly going, I don't need it. It's pretty cool. If I could make it happen, it's fantastic, but I don't need it. I will be fine. I am very aware of my level of hypocrisy that I've presented on my social media this week, because God damn, do I need that console. No, I take that back. I want this console. Do I need the PS5 Pro? Fucking no, I don't. Do I need all the cool things just because they're a lovely gray and the face buttons are the right colors and it fills me with this ungodly level of warmth, nostalgia, and happiness? I may have just sold myself. That was pretty good. Those did tick a lot of boxes for me, I suppose.
Just buy one of the controllers and you'll be right. You'll never know the difference.
Absolutely. Like, for me, it's like, if I had the opportunity for a PS5 Pro, this would be the time, right? Will I ever get a DualSense Edge? Probably not, but why not have a cool one? I would like to at least get the controller. However, so my plan of attack is I'm going to attempt to get at least a pre-order for the PS5 Pro bundle. If I happen to get one, sweet. Because you don't never have to pay in full. It's a down payment. I put that down payment in and I go, how am I going to get the rest of this money?
You're like, that's future Brett. That's future Betton's problem.
Yeah, because like
by future Betton, you mean a month and a half.
I have a month and a half to get this money together. So like,
I get paid monthly. So
I totally do.
I've got one pay cycle to get my shit together.
Yeah.
Seems like a dangerous game, dude.
Shit.
Seems like a super dangerous game.
But the idea being that if I can secure a pre-order, I can think about how I'm going to raise the money. How dry can my throat be? Like, what do I need to make this happen?
It's going to be like a pimpin' PAX weekend.
Oh, man. There's just going to be hand jobs all over the place. But yeah, because I can always cancel my pre-order at any given time or pass it on to somebody else that has the money.
You sell it as a scalper and marketplace. Pre-order bonus. I put down $50. I'll sell it for $200.
Yeah. Because I can always cancel at any time and that sort of thing. And I don't have the desire for PS5 Pro as it is. I know I'm completely suckered in by the 30th anniversary marketing. But as I said, to me, I said it on Twitter. I'll say it here. Like, I'm very aware of my love and, rose tinted glasses, are like a bit, for this brand. Like, to me, this brand is more than four colors and four symbols. Like, yeah, they're tatted on my arm, and that was the idea for one. This is because it's just such a massive part of who I am. And that moment where I, was gifted my PS1 on my 8th birthday, that changed the rest of my life. Like, I wouldn't be doing anything that I do now. A lot of things that I love, I adore my career, my friends, they all bounce off that one moment. And you can't put a price on that. until I look at the price of this bundle, and then I'm going to come to realize very quickly you can put a price on that bundle, and that price will be fuck probably that. But of course, you give no shits.
I give zero fucks about the console. there's just not enough in it for me to justify that cost. So I was crunching the numbers this morning, and I'm like, okay, so I would need a disc version because I still have disc games. So I'm looking at $1,350.
Yeah.
I've already put $700 into a PlayStation. So yeah. we're at $2,050.
Yep.
And then let's just say EB are feeling generous and they gave me like $500 for my trade-in. Uh-huh. I'm still paying $1,550 for one fucking console, which is more than what it would be to have just bought it outright anyway.
That is correct.
You're up to, you would be on number three. Uh-huh. Obviously you sold it to your ex-partner and son. So you got something for that. I don't know what that is. You could have been, I would imagine that.
I got exactly the trade value.
Yeah. I would imagine that you would have done, I imagine you would have done it super cheap as to not, rip them off. Cause you would,
Yeah. So, it wasn't for me. It was for my son. Yeah.
So I would imagine you got like pennies on the dollar cause EB fucking trash.
Yeah.
So you're up to console number three, and I cannot, that's just crazy to me. Buy three, get one.
Yeah.
It's not get one free. It's buy three, get one. That's fucking nuts. Cause that means that if my math is correct, you'd be close to like $2,500 for a single PS5 Pro.
I don't like how you've ruined all my emotion with facts.
And that's just crazy. It's like to put that in perspective, it's like 1 month of my mortgage.
In what, 4 years? Fuck me.
I'm gonna pre-order a controller.
I'm gonna pre-order a controller.
Because I want a controller. If you somehow manage to pull off the pro bundle and you're like, I fucking got it, I may be like, look, you're not really into the whole DualSense Edge thing. How about I swap your mind and I'll give you some cash? And then I get my controller, essentially. You still net a controller that's exactly the same and a little bit of cash.
That could work because the only reason I'd want the Pro would, sorry, the DualSense Edge.
I don't think you'd ever fucking use it. It would just be on
display. It would absolutely be on display. And you know what?
Keep the box and display the box. Ooh. No one will know that it's not in there.
Oh, shit. All right.
Fucking,
okay.
It's fucking Schrodinger's Edge.
Yeah, you didn't tell me there was going to be lies and deceit in this thing. I'm fucking in. No, seriously. Like, if that happens.
Schrodinger's edging.
If that. absolutely.
I'll be like they're like it's $130 for a DualSense. That's what I would pre-order. I wouldn't get an Edge. I'll be like, you can have my Edge and $130 for a DualSense and just give me yours that you'll never use. And just keep the box. No one will know the difference except for the people who are listening to this episode right now.
And the ten of you better shut the fuck up. Don't you fucking tell anyone. All right? It's our little secret.
Yeah, Schrodinger's edging. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. No one will know.
You know what?
But if it falls through, I'll just buy a DualSense.
Yeah, yeah. I have a feeling they'll be easy to use.
I kind of want one. Yeah.
Because I do have the 20th anniversary one.
Yeah.
And I love it. I don't use it, but it sits on display, and I love it for that reason. Mute goes, any chance of monthly installments? I imagine I probably could buy it on one of those, like I got one of those 50 months interest fee cards. But then
you would be able to get an eBay.
Yeah.
I don't think
eBay do
those.
No, and
you'd have to like JB or Good Guys it.
Yeah, exactly. And JB, I could maybe swing it, but we'll see how we go. But doesn't it have to be their brand though?
Probably.
Oh wait, no, JB and the Good Guys owned by the same people. That could work. Mm. That could work. Wait, no, I won't, because the card alone is less than what I assume this bundle will be. Hmm.
Do we want to put a guess on how much it's going to be?
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Go.
So it's $12.99.
All right, so it's the PS5 Pro.
No, sorry, what is it? $11.99 standard.
Yeah, so yeah, 11. Yeah, exactly. $1,200 essentially. So we've got that console. There's the DualSense Edge,
which at $300.
$300 retail. The other controller is normally part of the bundle. The stand is about $50 normally. And that's kind of all the extras in there.
Yep.
Yeah, on the charging stand. The charging stand's about $100.
Okay, so we're looking at $1,500.
Yeah, so yeah, so let's say like $1,300.
I'll bundle deal.
Yeah, bundle it. I would say $1,500, $1,600 Australian. $15 to $17. I think $17 would be the upper limit, but I'm gonna say $1,650. And then I say that and hate myself as I say it out loud. And I know my partner is watching this in the other room, and I can assure you she is wanting to punch me in the throat. You know, it's fucking crazy.
Got to earn big on OnlyFans this month, man.
Oh, I got to start one. But once again, there is a very, very specific niche that might be interested in this. And I'm with one of them. I lost one, you know, I lost one of them. I had a previous fan and then we got divorced. So like, so I halved my audience. I'm fucking done. And the only other person that would support that OnlyFans is in the other room wanting to punch me in the throat. So yeah, it's not going to go well for me. My OnlyFans may not be the most viable option. I just want one, Max.
If there are
companies like fucking FireSprite that can just spend ungodly amounts of money allegedly unchecked, like
fucking buckle in for this one, everybody. So Concord is such a historic flop that some of these stories simply can't be overlooked. Speaking on the latest episode of Sacred Symbols,
great show.
Colin Moriarty said he'd spoken to a developer on the first-person shooter, claimed the game cost approximately $400 million, making it the most expensive PlayStation first-party project ever. Marvel Spider-Man 2 is number 2 at like $210 million.
Yeah.
Which is still crazy to me because the first Spider-Man only cost them $80 and they used the same fucking city.
No, they built that second district and that was really expensive.
Yeah, that's true. Moriarty claims that Firewalk Studio had spent around $200 million at the start of last year prior to Sony's acquisition.
Yeah.
The title was originally being funded by probably Monsters, with PlayStation signing on as a publishing partner. It's unclear then how much of that original $200 million had come out of the platform holder's pocket. However, when it acquired the studio and took full control over the project, it allegedly spent a further $200 million getting the title ready for release. According to Moriarty, the game was in a disastrous state as recently as 18 months ago. With no player onboarding or monetization designed, outsourcing was required to get the project into shape, and to be fair, what did release was relatively polished, albeit extremely bare bones. Moriarty explained, quote, "It's the biggest game Sony's ever released from a budgetary standpoint from a first party. There are games in development at PlayStation first party that are more expensive from a budgetary standpoint, but as of the games that have come out so far, like Marvel Spider-Man 2, this game costs more and they lost it all," end quote. He then goes on to explain why PlayStation spent so much on the game. Quote, "It was heavily championed behind the scenes. The term had been used verbatim behind the scenes that Concord is the future of PlayStation. This game was referred to internally as a Star Wars-like project for Sony. It was designed to be repeatedly revisited, not just in games, but in cross-media. We've seen little bits of that, like the weekly stories and the inclusion in Amazon's secret levels." According to Moriarty, a sense of, quote, "toxic positivity" pervaded the project. Quote, "You weren't allowed to say anything internally about the game, about how something's wrong with it or how the character designs aren't right. This was Herman Holst's baby, apparently. He internally was a massive champion of the game." He concluded that he's, quote, "totally solid on his source," with Kotaku's Ethan Gush corroborating some of the story. Moriarty goes on to admit even he was surprised by some of the numbers being thrown around here. Quote, "I was saying it cost 9 figures probably, like low 100 million, but I thought there was no way it cost 200. Actually, it cost 400 million, and that doesn't even include the price of acquiring the team itself."
Well, that's at the moment. I'm currently having to do a quick search trying to work out how much they spent on Fire Sprite as a studio. And in my very quick, you're Googleizing, I'm not getting much. So a couple things that interest me here. Obviously, all of it because it's fascinating. There are things that I find more interesting are the financials, because it's data, right? These can be traced. These can be sourced. Pardon me. The second part is this world of toxic positivity. That is subjective to me, in that that is someone's belief. That I think will be harder to confirm outside of Colin and his source. Now, personally, I respect Colin Moriarty a lot, as not just a former journalist, but as an insider, as a commentator around, especially the PlayStation space. There's very few people I hold in such high regard as Colin. So I believe this to be true. $400 million is kind of insane. The fact that they then had to spend its entire initial costings again to make it a releasable product is astounding to me. Because in no way, when I was playing Concord, did this feel like a game that was required to have spent $400 million.
Sony paid around $250 million for Firewalk.
There you go. So collectively $650 million on this title, because they had not released a whole lot before. They had worked in conjunction, they'd worked in conjunction. Oh, no, that's Fire Sprite, you dickhead. No, I said Fire Sprite, because Fire Sprite Fire Sprite did because they did Horizon Call of the Mountain. So the other two things that intrigue me the most is the money, where to go, why, how. a culture of positivity is cool. It is not, but like, it's cool if it delivers a product. But I'm wondering how, if everything is yes and let's go, this game is a lot more cohesive than what that environment would dictate.
Yeah, but it sounds like a lot of it was outsourced as well. And
by the end was just so they could make it.
And if it's only internally positive, then none of the outsourced material would have had that. It wouldn't have rubbed off on any of the outsourced material. So
true.
In theory, if the bare bones game was outsourced to make it run and get it out the door.
Yeah, but I mean that, like, if
it ran fine, it just had very bland, dull characters that just weren't interesting.
Yeah, and then in turn, the world felt very lackluster. And
if this was supposed to be like a big transmedia property, I couldn't imagine like anything like this. Yeah, I couldn't imagine those characters in anything else.
No. Yeah, and I've discussed this before. My belief is that the reason the PlayStation caught interest in this title was that, yeah, it was just the idea is it wanted to disrupt the games as a service multiplayer space with what Sony is good at. And I think that's where the interest was within Sony Interactive Entertainment and the worldwide studios. We're good at making great single player cinematic driven stories. Let's combine that with a multiplayer game. Let's disrupt the service the industry by saying, nah, this game is worth $40. It's not a free. Like, you're gonna, the money that, like, you know, we believe that what you're paying for is going to be worth it. And they just didn't deliver on any of that. Like, if that's their mindset, then I can certainly respect their hustle, but they didn't back it up.
I don't know if it was one of those things of, like, you know, people are complaining about constantly being monetized with the season pass, the battle pass, the buying of new characters. Like, what if we just charge them once up front And then from then on, everything's free. There's no battle pass. Every time a character drops, you just get it because you've already paid for it.
Yeah.
And like, I
like that in principle a lot.
But when you have to pay to try a game, it makes it real hard for people to want to buy in just to try it out to see if they even like it.
See, but this is the
especially,
thing.
Especially when the genre is predominantly filled with free-to-play titles that people have been playing for 5, 6, 7 years that they've spent the potential of hundreds of dollars on for their skins and the characters that they already know and love that they've been playing with for X amount of years. It's really hard to be like, should I spend money to try it and ultimately not like it or not pull me away from the game I'm already married to or any of those things? Like, it's a really hard bargain.
And I would agree with that. And to your point, I said, you know, this is the thing, right? We talking about the price being a barrier of entry. That game was free as part of the beta. They had the free beta.
If that, you had placed
it. They opened it up, remember?
If you had PlayStation Plus,
yeah,
and
most people that would play those games on PlayStation require PS Plus to play multiplayer. So that's not as if they didn't have it. If you play Overwatch, if you play Call of Duty, if you play any of those games, you are required to have PS Plus on your PlayStation to do that. So barrier entry one gone. Those that did play it said no. So, like, the price, you know, even though I've used the price as an argument for the failings of Concord at large, when they made it free, readily available for free as part of the beta window, which is the moment you should be hooking people in, most people that played it went, nah, either canceled their pre-order or didn't have one to begin with, therefore didn't buy it. So, like, I'm with you and I agree with your point. But, like, I think the problem is bigger than that. So I think that goes back to your original point around the gameplay being fine and nothing remarkable and everything being bland.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is the game wasn't marketed very well.
No.
Like I only knew the beta was there because
we do this.
Yeah, because we do this. So, because I wouldn't have even tried the beta because I would have known it was there had I not, you know, been in the loop.
excuse me.
So yeah, it's one of those things.
Yeah, it makes me wonder where this money's gone. That's the
like I said, if they do plan on like No Man skiing it and getting it back out, it really does need to hit before Marvel Rivals.
Yeah, I don't think there's a redeemable part of it in that sense because you know
the studio director's stepped down.
Yep, good call. Good,
and there is rumors that the studio is going to be disbanded.
As we discussed previously, like the only options are they make it free to play, try to revive it, but that's not the viable option because there is no, like, if they make it, no one wanted to pay for it or play it when it was free, right? So going free to play, not going to help it. The best case scenario is you pull apart Firewalk, take those that are good, send them to that new studio that they were mentioning, get them in the other first-party studios, and then fuck off everyone that's left, I guess. Like, it sucks, and I'm sorry. But, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of that money, you know, was outsourcing. Like, you know, people, they probably charged a premium, and they'll be able to, you know, asking for people to you know, this is what, you know, a thing that I hadn't considered, but when I was brought up in that episode of Sacred Symbols, when all these people are in this position where they can go, oh, you need this done like ASAP, and you're coming to us. Well, if you want it done, you're gonna have to pay a premium, mate, because, you know, they have the negotiating upper hand here. So yeah, it's interesting. It's very, very interesting. Oh dear God, my throat's fucking destroying me. All right, quick bits.
Not many this week.
Only two this week. Pal World, the game affectionately known as Pokemon with Guns, has been hit by a Nintendo lawsuit for patent infringement. Not copyright, as everyone seems to be reporting, for patent infringement.
And as of yet, no one knows what fucking patent it's for.
The presumption was it was the...
There's two presumptions at the moment. There's one talking about how the game interacts between like a player A dropping an item, player B collecting that item, and then player A re-receiving that item.
Yeah.
And then the other pattern is for what is essentially aiming and launching an object that will capture a different Pokemon thrown at it.
Yeah.
Obviously alluding to catching a Pokemon with a Pokeball or catching pals with pal spheres.
Yeah. So it's interesting that that was the part they got them on. It feels kind of like how they got what's his name on tax fraud.
But it's interesting because that pattern in particular wasn't granted until after the release of Power World, but its parent pattern was granted back in 2021.
So they might be able to get it on that since.
So there's this weird, but again, we don't know for certain which pattern it is. A lot of the industry analysts and former like lawyers for video game companies are like, this will probably drag out for like years. This is not going to be like a, one of those pay me $100 million and we'll just make it go away. But Power World can probably cover the cost these days.
Could brunt that cost, yeah, because it's coming to PS5 at some point soon and it did really well on Xbox. Yeah. And finally, the quick bits.
I'm super keen for this.
Yeah, this is cool. Like a Dragon, Pirate Yakuza is the next game in the series, and it is coming in February of next year. Max, please explain what Like a Dragon, Pirate Yakuza is.
Well, I didn't watch the actual reveal, but basically it looks like it's taking place right after Infinite Wealth, and you're playing as one of the ex-members that you team up with during Infinite Wealth. And it just happened that he was out on a boat at the time, and we're fucking pirate mafia now. It's great. Like, Infinite Wealth has really opened that series up to me. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed my time with Infinite Wealth.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
It's one of the games that I rolled credits on this year, and this has got me very excited.
No, it looks really intriguing. Like, I didn't finish Infinite Wealth. I kind of got it to a point and then just got distracted and sort of wandered off. but yeah, no, this is kind of interesting. Certainly. What's Sega do with this title? And what's the name of the studio? Shit. I have like a bag of theirs here when we went and played Judgment at PAX.
It's
them. Yeah, what they have done is that they've created such a ridiculous
Ryuga Gotaku.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Ryuga Gotaku. Yeah, they've created such this intriguing and bizarre and unique thing with Yakuza. Like, it's really exciting to see it sort of grow and become accepted within the West. Like, I have no major emotional connection to the franchise. I'm just enjoying it kind of now for the first time. But, like, I love that there are people that have been like, this fucking franchise rule. It's like Persona, right? When Persona had its breakthrough, like, I love giving Persona shit, but Persona 4 and Persona 5 fucking rule. As much as I shit on them, they are both fantastic. And that breakthrough moment is like, oh, these are games that could get people into JRPGs and to experience, you know, them and love them in a way like you do. But it's pretty rad. Very cool. Any upcoming games this week, Max?
Yes, we have Disney Epic Mickey Rebrush PS5, PS4 coming September 24th, which I think I mentioned last week because I thought it was going to drop this week. And then the only other one, I think, depending on the time frame, will be Throne and Liberty coming on the 1st of October to PS5.
Woo. Get
which is a free-to-play MMORPG. Yeah, October's fucked for me, man.
Oh, and that's excluding PAX, by the way.
If I am lucky and privileged enough to play all the games that I want to play in October, we've got Throne and Liberty coming October 1st, free-to-play, so I'll get to play that. Until Dawn is coming October 4th on PC.
Bingo, yes please. And PS5.
Silent Hill 2 Remake coming to PS5 October 8th.
Absolutely.
Diablo 4 Expansion coming October 8th.
Don't care.
Dragon Ball Sparking Zero coming October 10th.
Reasonably keen.
Metaphor coming October 11th.
Oh, I know you're keen, but you might win me over on that one. I'll put that on my maybe.
Just Dance 2025 coming October 15th.
Couldn't give a shit.
Unknown 9 Awakening coming October 18th.
You seem pretty stoked on that, so I'll take that.
Black Ops 6 coming October 25th.
Nah.
Dragon Age, October 31st. I think there's like fucking 10 or 11 games.
Five tops. Did you see the character creation for Dragon Age today?
I watched like hours.
Okay, so the tools look incredible. Yeah. The footage that IGN shared looked fucking disgusting. Like none of that looked appealing. It looked garbage. Like I don't know why they all had to look like handsome Squidward. It was really, really weird. But I assume like there was some selected cuts because...
Trevor's going to destroy me, man.
Yeah, it's going to be gnarly. Anyways, that does bring us.
And there's PAX in fucking October too, so there's a whole weekend gone on release date for fucking Dragon Ball and Metaphor, both drop PAX weekend.
Crazy, exhausting. I'm already.
If I don't come to PAX one day, just assume I'm playing a fucking PlayStation at home.
Just take it with you, like we did to EB Games, EB Expo that one year.
Oh, yeah. Just playing the free play section.
No. So at the end of the day, it's like when we went back to the hotel, I just played.
I'm not fucking staying in a hotel. I can't afford that.
I'm not doing it this time. I meant last time. But anyways, big thank you for joining us this week. We do always appreciate it. It is such a nice thing that you do. So be sure to, as I said, tell your friends. You know, there's not many of us around these PlayStation podcasts, especially Australian ones.
Last week of September, people.
Yeah, we don't follow September at all, but sure, if you felt the need.
I got a notification today saying, like, now's the time.
Is that just after the notification, the email from Twitch, they're like, hey, subs are way more expensive now for no reason?
It's all right. Twitch is crazy. Today, because obviously I run the stream in the background so I can moderate if need be.
Like right now?
Like right now.
Fucking timing.
Apparently, I have reached my 7 stream watch streak. Which is bizarre because I watch it every week.
That is bizarre. But all right, Max, let's get Eddie.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. Like take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures. If you watch us record this show live, we can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this position pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe to the comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, other assorted shit without logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was for the players. My voice made it. That was really impressive. Well done, me.
Nice, well done.
Yeah, give it up for me.